Also, while I'm pitching movies, I want to encourage you to go on YouTube and find a movie entitled Understanding What's Happening in America. My brother Tom Askell, who's the editor of this book and the genius behind the Synodoc by What Standard, commends this 16-minute video. And this fella on this video, Larry Taunton is his name, has captured the movement from Marxism, and particularly he focuses in on Black Lives Matter. So I want to commend that to you to watch. Now, at this point in the study, we began looking in the Garden of Eden, where the devil himself, in the form of a serpent, questioned the first woman, our first mother, is that what God really said? And I've tried to show you that that has been the challenge ever since. An assault upon the truth, the wisdom, the goodness of the Creator God. And so we've looked at this point at classical Marxism, how it's morphed in this culture into cultural Marxism, how it manifests itself in critical race theory and intersectionality, to pernicious ideas which were offered at the Southern Baptist Convention in the form of a resolution in Birmingham, Alabama, and adopted overwhelmingly by a bunch of lemming, ignoramus messengers, all right? We looked at Antifa, that pernicious communist destructive steal, kill, destroy. It's got Satan's mark all over it. Today we're beginning to look at Black Lives Matter. And I want to say at the outset that the African American community is being used like tools to push a wicked, evil communist agenda. I'm going to let you see today. We won't do the exposition today. We'll come back next week, God willing, and do the exposition in the passage we're about to read in Acts that shows that God, the Creator, who made from one man every ethnic background, He made the human race. There's one race, not many races. And every ethnic background traces back to our first parent, Adam, and his spouse, Eve. At this matter, God does not show partiality. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Verses 34 to 43, I'm going to read this, as I said today. Next week, God willing, we'll come back and we'll do an exposition of it as an answer, a gospel response to Black Lives Matter. If you found this in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you don't have a Bible with you, we're going to put the text on the screen so that you can see it and hear it as I read it. It's a continuation. You read responsively a few moments ago about the episode. Peter's on the rooftop. He goes into a trance. A sheet of food that in the Old Testament under the ceremonial law is dropped down in front of him. And the ceremonial law had said, this is unclean. No Jew will touch this. And this voice comes and says, take and eat. Peter says, oh no, Lord. I'll not touch or eat anything unclean. And the voice says, don't call anything I have made unclean. You see, when Jesus comes, the ceremonial law is abolished. Peter has to learn some things. It's a preparatory to him being sent to the home of a Gentile, a non-Jew, who's being brought savingly to faith in Christ. And Peter makes the amazing discovery, God does not look upon face, upon skin tone. That's what partiality means here. Follow along as I read this text from Acts 10, 34 to 43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. As for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What have we just read together? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient word of God. And you'll see that Peter, in discovering that God doesn't choose or reject people based on their skin tone, recognized that God is not a God of partiality, and Peter preached the gospel. The gospel is the answer to the Black Lives Matter tragedy. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, give you a brief history of Black Lives Matter. It began in July 2013 when George Zimmerman, a 28-year-old neighborhood watch coordinator, he was himself of Hispanic-German descent, was acquitted of homicide charges in the 2012 fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old black high school student in Sanford, Florida, who was cutting through a neighborhood. It was a tragedy, you'll remember that. Alicia Garza, a black woman from Oakland, California, posted to Facebook what she described as a love letter to black folks. She wrote, "I continue to be surprised how little black lives matter. Black people, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter." Patrice Cullors, a black woman from Los Angeles, California, then put Garza's Facebook post on Twitter with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. After seeing the hashtag, Opal Tometi, a first-generation Nigerian-American woman from Phoenix, Arizona, partnered with Garza and Cullors to establish an internet presence. Tometi purchased the domain name and built Black Lives Matter's digital platform, including social media accounts where they encouraged people to tell their stories. The hashtag Black Lives Matter gained national attention in August 2014 after the fatal shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, by Darrell Wilson, a white police officer. It began to show up during riots in November 2014. A grand jury decided not to indict Wilson because he was engaged in a scuffle where Michael Brown was trying to take his service revolver. The officer was defending himself. But by 2018, hashtag Black Lives Matter had been tweeted over 30 million times. It's now a movement with nearly 40 chapters, thousands of activists, United States, Canada, and Great Britain. It began under the guise of being a movement to seek justice for black people, but it's taken on some very evil and devilish properties. So Black Lives Matter, for your information, is a Marxist revolutionary movement aimed at transforming the United States into a communist dystopia. It states that it wants to abolish the nuclear family, police, prisons, and capitalism. You can read this on their website. Now, they've begun to scrub their website because there were some pretty vile things on there, and people began to quote it, copy it, quote it, share it. So they've gone in and they've begun to change some of the language. But the photos are out there. The snapshots, you know, what you put on Facebook stands written somewhere in somebody's photo journal. They've threatened to burn down the system if their demands are not met. And they also have noted that they're training militias. So they're training armed branches. One report I read, and by the way, I've got 70 pages of notes and quotes. Pray for me that I can break this stuff down to you. It's amazing. It's astounding. One quote I read said that military officers, black military officers in our military, who are special ops types, some of them are doing the training of the Black Lives Matter militia. Now, Dr. Carol Swain, who's a black professor at Vanderbilt University, a conservative black woman, says this: white people are so confused in America. If there's a systematic racism today, it is a racism against white people, in the sense that white people are told that they are responsible for all the evils in the world. She goes on to say, we are all human beings in God's image. Black Lives Matter and Antifa and organizations like that will not help us transcend racism and classism and the isms that they are concerned with. There are things that can be done in the black community, but the most important thing is helping people realize how important their own attitudes are. Recent survey by Pew Research found that 2/3 of America support Black Lives Matter, which shows you that there's an abysmal ignorance about this organization. Because on the surface, it presents itself as a grassroots movement dedicated to the noble task of fighting racism and police brutality. But when you dig into it, you find out it's Marxist, it's revolutionary, it wants to tear down the American way. Black Lives Matter's founders openly admit to being Marxist ideologues. They confess that their mentors, the people who trained them, were members of the Weather Underground. I don't know if, depending on how old you are, you may not know about that. That was a radical communist movement in the 60s, rioting, setting off bombs in public places. It was a left-wing terrorist group that sought to bring a communist revolution to the United States in the 60s and 70s. Black Lives Matter leadership admires the Venezuelan dictator, Nicolas Maduro. They admire and commend the government of Cuba, of Nicaragua, so on and so forth. If you know anything about Venezuela, you'll know that their leader is torturous. In fact, communism has in this century, 20th century alone, killed 125 million people worldwide. So, Patrice Cullors, one of the founders, says this: we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular, we're trained organizers. I want to remind you that the last president, who was president for 8 years, was a community organizer. He was famous for pointing out how terrible the police were. Famous for saying things like, you didn't build this. That's the language of Black Lives Matter. But Cullors says, we are trained Marxists. We are super versed on ideological theories. Hank Newsom, an activist for Black Lives Matter, said, if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down the system and replace it. All right. I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. I just want black liberation and black sovereignty by any means necessary. So the chant is, stay in the streets. Patrice Cullors said this: it's hundreds of years of generational oppression and trauma and infrastructural racism. They have all these descriptives to put in front of racism. Capital racism, infrastructural racism, that, listen to this, that impacts our bodies, bodies of black people, and makes our bodies more vulnerable to something like a COVID-19. So if you do enough reading on this, you'll find out that they're suggesting that COVID-19 is being used by white supremacists to wipe out black people. to the idea that all lives matter. One activist, Feminista Jones is her name, says all lives matter is little more than a racist dog whistle that attempts to both delegitimize centuries of claims of global anti-black oppression and position those who exhibit tremendous pride in their blackness as enemies of the state. Well, we are enemies of any racist, sexist, classist, xenophobic state that sanctions brutality and murder against marginalized people who deserve to live as free people. That's how she describes. Remember now, Marxism moves forward by dividing the oppressed and the oppressors, the victims and the victimizers. They call themselves an abolitionist movement. We do not believe in reforming the police, the state, or the prison, the industrial complex. It all needs to come down. No borders, no prisons, no police departments. Sean King, you may have heard his name, Black Lives Matter leader, says, yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. They are a form of white supremacy, always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. Tear the statues down. What's the agenda? Well, it's based on critical race theory and intersectional theory. We've already gone through that. If you've not heard these, I would commend you to our Bethel Owosso YouTube channel to go back and listen to those messages. But you have to have critical race theory and intersectionality in order to advance these ideas, which makes me as a Southern Baptist pastor just completely frustrated that Southern Baptist leadership allowed the travesty that took place at the Birmingham Convention in 2019 to take place on resolution number 9. You see, just to remind you, critical race theory and intersectionality rejects individual accountability for behavior or criminal activity. Because according to them, blacks are systemic and permanent victims of racism. So, if you could say as a white person, but I'm not racist, but you're white. Therefore, in this structure, because it's systemic, you're by definition a racist. And a black person, no matter what they do, if they burn something down, break into something, steal something, it's perfectly okay because they're the victims. They're being victimized. They're simply working out. Remember when George Floyd was killed by a police officer and all the burning and rioting and looting and killing? They were just working out their grief. And this kind of racism, blacks are systemic and permanent victims of racism, can only be defeated by completely dismantling the American economic, political, and social system and rebuilding it from scratch, according to Marxist principles. So, let's look just real quickly what they want to accomplish. Black Lives Matter seeks to replace the foundational cornerstones of American society. Abolish the Judeo-Christian concept of the traditional nuclear family, the basic social unit in America. The 16-minute video I commended to you a while ago on YouTube, the fellow on the video talks about the game Jenga. You familiar with Jenga? Jenga is a stack game. You put all these pieces of wood, different shapes of wood, into kind of a cube sort of thing. Take the cube off, and there it stands. And the purpose of the game is to try to remove a piece and leave the structure standing. And the person who removes a piece when causing the structure to collapse, that person loses. Think of a Jenga game. Think of these as Jenga pieces. Abolish the Judeo-Christian concept of the traditional nuclear family. T.S. Eliot said, if Christianity goes under, culture collapses. Second, abolish the police and dismantle the prison system. Make sure you understand this now. get rid of all police departments, and release all prisoners. This is their path to ending systemic racism. Third, mainstream, that is, make it normal, transgenderism and delegitimize, these are big words, so-called heteronormativity. The heteronormativity is a fancy multisyllabic term that simply means that heterosexual values and ethics and conduct is the norm. Get rid of that. That's a part of the white man's system, holding people down. In its place, transgenderism needs to be the norm. Boys going in women's bathrooms. Boys dressing in girls' locker rooms. Boys competing in girls' sports. And then abolish capitalism, a free economy, and replace it with communism. This is where they want to go. Now, in 1965, Patrick Moynihan, who was at the time Assistant Secretary of Labor under President Lyndon Johnson, authored a groundbreaking report, and it focused on the roots of black poverty in the United States. It was the driving force, if you remember, behind Johnson's Great Society, which was not great and had nothing social about it. It utterly, ultimately destroyed the black family unit in America. But at this time, 1965, Moynihan pointed out that the problems facing the black community were crime, joblessness, school failure, out-of-wedlock births, all assaults upon the traditional nuclear family. In 1965, 25% of black children in the United States were born out of wedlock. In 2015, 50 years later, 75% of black children are born out of wedlock. 3 out of 4 little black babies who are born. Now, by the way, that's the ones who actually make it through the birth canal and don't get murdered by Planned Parenthood, which builds its facilities in or near black neighborhoods. Millions of little black babies have been murdered by Planned Parenthood. But those who do survive the womb. 3 out of 4 born to young black women where there is no dad to be found. So what's Black Lives Matter's solution to that? Destroy the nuclear family. See, you and I understand from biblical principles that the answer to this, then in 65 and now, and keen minds of all colors recognize, hold these dads accountable. Do something to get the father back into the mix of the black family. But that's not going to happen with Black Lives Matter, because see, the founders are lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders. The first black economist to earn tenure at Harvard University, Glenn Lowry, said this: "The bottom stratum of the black community has compelling problems which can no longer be blamed solely on white racism and which force us to confront fundamental failures in black society. The societal disorganization among poor blacks, the lagging academic performance of black students, the disturbingly high rate of black-on-black crime, and the alarming increase in early unwed pregnancies among blacks now loom as the primary obstacles to black progress." If you don't know Thomas Sowell, he's deceased, but you need to read his writings. He was an African-American economist, social theorist, brilliant. He observed that the Moynihan Report in 1965, quote, may have been the last honest government report on race. Cullors, the founder of Black Lives Matter on abolishing police, says that the whole structure, the police force and the prison system, come out of the days of slavery, that they're just a continuation of slavery to keep the black community down. Quote, the freedom of mostly white affluent people is predicated on the unfreedom of black people. So law enforcement is not actually used to keep black people safe. They're used to patrol, occupy, harass, abuse, often hunt, and mostly what we've seen is kill our communities. Policing and incarceration are part of a continuum. The policing is the first response, and then incarceration is the last response. And these two systems rely on each other very, very deeply. We have to be working on getting rid of both systems. Abolish heteronormativity. Two of the three founders of Black Lives Matter described themselves as, quote, black queer females. Alicia Garza is married to a biracial transgender male. Patrice Cullors describes herself as polyamorous. You're not familiar with these terms. Polyamorous, for example, Karen and I are monogamous, right? Polyamorous means you would invite other people into that relationship, male and female. Now, why am I reading this to you? Because this is disgusting. This is like wading through a sewer to me. But folks, there are preachers out there, and you may know some. You may have friends and family who are going around with their fists in the air, Black Lives Matter, and they don't have a clue what they're advocating. And we've got to know this to give them an answer. In an interview, Garza and Cullors raised the issue of, quote, black, trans, and gender nonconforming people. In fact, one writer has observed that they talk more about this than they do about police brutality. And there's an article about, it's entitled The Queering of Black Lives Matter, that these founders, because of their sexual proclivities and perversions, are pushing an agenda under the guise of protecting blacks from police brutality. Another one is abolish capitalism and the patriarchal system. See, BLM equates capitalism with racism in the same way that Antifa does. I told you that last week when we cited some stuff to watch for the connection. They observe what they call racial capitalism, saying that capitalism is racist. Capitalism and racism are two sides of the same coin. The capitalism, they would suggest, is designed to hold down the black community. A movement for black lives, M4BL is what it's called, is a conglomeration of 170 black-led organizations. And in their material, they say, we are anti-capitalist. We believe and understand that black people will never achieve liberation under the current global racialized capitalist system. They observe that the government, responsible corporations, and other institutions that have profited off of the harm that has inflicted on black people, from colonialism to slavery, through food and housing, and just the repair, they must repair the harm they've done. How's the repair? What do you want? For starters, full and free access for all black people, including undocumented and currently and formerly incarcerated people. Full and free access to a lifetime of education, a guaranteed minimum livable income for all black people, reparations for the wealth extracted from our communities through, another term, environmental racism, slavery, food apartheid, housing discrimination, and racialized capitalism. But as I've told you before in this study, it doesn't matter what is given, it will never be enough. Never. I read an article this past week where Patrice Cullors has been offered by one of the great Hollywood studios a long-term contract to make millions and millions of dollars writing programming for the black community. Their immediate demand, however, if you want to throw a bone to Black Lives Matter now, is to get rid of Donald Trump. For them, Donald Trump stands as the epitome of capitalism. He says, make America great again. They respond, America's never been great. And so again, Carol Swain, Vanderbilt professor, waxes eloquent on this. It's very clear to me that the Black Lives Matter organization is about something much bigger than black people, that it really is pushing a socialist, Marxist agenda. She goes on to say, there's something very wrong when they argue that racism is permanent. If it's permanent, then there's nothing you can do about it. That white skin is property, that means that people who just happen to have been born white, they have property that gives them advantages over blacks. If there's systemic racism today, it is a racism against white people. And I read you that a while ago. And she talks about how pitiful it is that white people try their best to satisfy Black Lives Matter. Says it's ridiculous to suggest that racism is permanent and the only way they can redeem themselves is by divesting themselves of their whiteness. It involves a shaming of young white people. If you have white skin, you're supposed to have all these white privileges. This black professor says, I contend that there's black privilege, brown privilege. It's really about social class. The sooner we get away from defining everything, even the police brutality, as racism, the sooner we can bring everyone together as Americans. I have a 12-year-old granddaughter who goes to Collinsville Schools. She spent some time with us last weekend. Asked my wife some questions about some of these things. Because you see, in one of her classes, they watch CNN. So she gets her ideas about what is right and what is true from CNN in Collinsville, in the public schools. Your children are being indoctrinated to this. You need to know this. College students, multitudes have bought it hook, line, and sinker. They will tell you without even batting an eye that they believe socialism is a better way. And yet when you ask them, what is socialism? Ask for a meaningful definition. They cannot give it to you. All they know is that they've been indoctrinated by professors that capitalism is bad. Socialism is what we need. And many will go to the polls to vote. One columnist, Josh Hammer, said that the American system of governance and way of life is under existential threat by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They teach their followers to tear down statues like Jefferson's statue, Lincoln's statue. And yet, in Seattle, a statue of, I think it's Lenin, stands untouched. They admire cultural revolution of Mao Zedong in China, despise the Declaration of Independence. And they say without hesitation, we will burn down the system. Quickly, in their own words, and I'm going to stop today. Revolutions don't happen just once in a lifetime. May there be countless revolutions in our time toward black liberation. Defund, disarm, dismantle, abolish. Get off our land, white man. Queer black people are working to get the larger black movement closer to an ideology that is intersectional. We're fighting against white supremacist patriarchal society. That's why you need black women to fight it. Some of the research I did showed that Patrice Cullors, who's one of the chief founders of Black Lives Matter, was groomed by one of the former Weather Underground members. Picked her out, took her in, taught her communist ideology, taught her tactics. In fact, he's called the grandfather of Black Lives Matter. This is not, never has been, never will be about making black lives matter. The communists have found in the black community people who can easily be made prey to use them to advance the communist agenda in America. Nobody wants to be known as a racist. White preachers, white corporations are falling all over themselves to be sure that no one calls them a racist. And it's a shameful thing to see. They would say that capitalism exploits black people, and yet Black Lives Matter is the chief exploiter of black people. You see, if it was about the value assigned to black lives, which everyone can agree, Christians lead the way in that. We are all creatures made in the image of God. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. If it was about that, then these folks would be flocking to Christianity by droves. But they hate Christianity. If it was about valuing black lives, then these folks would be on the front lines of shutting down every Planned Parenthood clinic in America. If it was about valuing black lives, these folks would be in the streets in Chicago saying, "Stop the slaughter of black-on-black crime." Every city where there are riots, firebombings, murder, and mayhem is run by a politician who is sympathetic to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They don't have the answers because the path they're going down has no answers. It is destructive. It is devastating. Next week, God willing, I will share with you some thoughts from some black conservative people who recognize the danger in this. And what they say will be eye-opening. Brothers and sisters, if you have children who've embraced this, first of all, pray for them that their eyes will be open. If you have family that's bought into this, pray that their eyes will be open. And then pray that there will be a willingness to share and to receive the information that's out there. This is not hard to find. And pray that God will deliver us. Let me tell you something. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Just as the church in China, the gates of hell have not prevailed against the church. The church is undergoing great persecution in China, Somalia. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church will be victorious, triumphing, because our Savior is victorious. But in the meantime, the lives that will be savaged and ruined by these movements and machinations, we need to be the people who are rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying. We need to have an intelligent word and not get suckered in. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that what I'm sharing with you is connecting. And if it's not, please don't think you're going to hurt my feelings saying, Pastor, I'm not getting it. Because I will spend whatever time and capital I need to spend to help you get it. It's that critical to me. This is a war. And the one Jenga piece that they want to get their hands on is Christianity. Because the whole structure falls. This film I've commended to you, the fellow says, why? Why has America not fallen like all the, and he lists 20 or 30 countries around the world that have fallen to this ideology. He says it's a one-word answer, Christianity. It's the stronghold. It's what's holding back the flood of devastation and destruction. But we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. We have a gospel to preach and proclaim. And we have a call to stand firm, having done all, withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. Everything I've shared with you today, none of it's personal, none of it's prejudicial. It is satanically inspired, this stuff that's going on. And what I'm sharing with you is to expose the prince of darkness. Stand firm, brothers and sisters. Pray. Love. Show the more excellent way. Let's pray together. Dear Holy Father,